When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sask Egg Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Egg Today. Coming up on today's program, more funding for support programs, services, and research highlight the agriculture portion of the Saskatchewan budget that was delivered yesterday afternoon. We'll have some reaction to that budget from the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan, as well as the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities. While efforts will continue to promote canola oil in the human diet, the biggest potential for market expansion is biofuels. We'll hear from Jeff Pleskach. He is Cargill's canola merchandising manager based in Winnipeg. He will join us on today's program. All of those stories and much more on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers bio-meal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. More funding for support programs, services, and research highlight the agriculture portion of the Saskatchewan budget. $431.7 million will fund federal-provincial risk management programs such as crop insurance and agri-stability, which is an increase of $23.7 million from the previous year. In addition, $89.4 million will support initiatives under the Sustainable Canadian Agricultural Partnership and $38 million to support research and programs that support the development of new technologies. Expenses for the Ministry of Agriculture for 2024-25 will be $1.5 billion. It's time now for the Beef and Forage Report, and that's a presentation of Bumper to Bumper in Langenberg and Rokenville, your auto parts professionals. Let them find the parts no one else can. Open 8 to 6 Monday to Saturday. Call 306-743-2332.
Beef and Forage Report.
It's important to maximize efficiency when feeding livestock during the winter months. That's according to Ricky Wilson, the Livestock and Feed Extension Specialist for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture, based in Humboldt.
When economies of scale don't make sense for a producer to purchase a mixed wagon to feed a total mixed ration to their herd, the age-old method of bales and pails can still get the job done. While this may reduce the accuracy at which you're able to feed your livestock, there's a few tips and tricks to keep in mind to help you maximize efficiency. Always remember, you can't manage what you don't measure. Keep track of feed inventory and bale weights and test the feeds you plan to use. This information helps you track whether more feed needs to be purchased ahead of time and if nutritional requirements are being met. It may even help you take advantage of using cheaper, more poor quality feeds early on in gestation and save your better feeds for later. Remember to also account for waste. Forage waste is assumed to be anywhere from 10 to 30% depending on the feed out method you're using. Number two, reduce competition at the trough and feeder. If you're feeding grain once or twice a day, a mature cow is going to need between 24 to 30 inches of space. If you're feeding grain to mature cows, they should be supplied at least 3 pounds per feeding to reduce competition. And remember, don't exceed 8 pounds per feeding to avoid that risk of acidosis. Reducing competition might also come down to separating those young, smaller cows from the older, mature ones. Rotate what you feed. In an instance where you have poor quality slough hay and a good quality green feed, consider alternating the days that you're feeding them. This will ensure that the older boss cows don't prevent younger animals from getting at the better quality stuff. And number four, mix your minerals. It's best if you can mix mineral right into that grain being supplied, but in cases where this isn't possible, consider mixing mineral in with salt to encourage intake. A mature cow will eat around an ounce of salt every day. Always follow mixing directions found on that mineral packaging. For more information on winter feeding strategies, forage testing, and livestock nutrition, please contact the Agriculture Knowledge Center at 1-866-457-2377. This has been Ricky Wilson, Livestock and Feed Extension Specialist with the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture.
And it's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
Louis Dreyfus Company's profits last year held close to the bumper levels of 2022, with the agricultural commodity giant saying its global trading network helped it withstand falling prices. LDC, one of the world's largest crop traders and processors, whose competitors include ADM, Bunge, and Cargill, said 2023 core earnings dipped to $2.22 billion U.S. from $2.35 billion a year ago, while its net income remained stable at $1.01 billion. Sales fell more sharply to $50.6 billion from $59.9 billion in 2022, reflecting a fall in prices and volumes. While markets were less chaotic than in 2022, when the start of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine pushed global food commodity prices to a record high, the war and weather setbacks continued to disrupt supply and let LDC use its global network to generate profitable trade. Nearly 7 months of price pressures and fund selling creating a lengthy downturn have given way to canola trending higher for the first time in 2024. The oilseed continued its month-long rise during the week ended yesterday, gaining more than $70 Canadian per metric ton since late February. Winnipeg-based commodities investment advisor David Derwin from PI Financial says a combination of the funds covering some of canola's record net short position, other gains breaking their own trends, and the start of spring has fueled canola's breakthrough to the upside. Derwin also considers recent rises in Chicago soy oil as well as palm oil futures as supportive factors. However, the relatively small size of the canola market compared to other vegetable oils can create sharper price increases or declines. Canadian canola ending stocks will likely be tighter by the close of the upcoming 2024-25 marketing year, while the wheat carryout should rise. That's according to updated supply and demand estimates from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, released Tuesday. Factoring updated acreage estimates from Statistics Canada, AAFC lowered their call for Canadian canola production in 2024-25 to 18.1 million metric tons, from 18.365 million in February. That compares with 18.328 million tons in the current 2023-24 marketing year. Projected exports were left unchanged at 7 million metric tons for 2023-24 and at 7.7 million in the new crop year. For wheat, total production was estimated at 34.593 million metric tons by the government agency. That was up by 667,000 tons from the February estimate and well above the 31.954 million tons grown in 2023-24. An organization representing Canadian veterinarians is calling for the federal government to intervene as it faces what it calls a severe workforce shortage. Representatives from the Canadian Veterinary Medical Association visited Parliament Hill yesterday to call for more investments in programs to shore up the industry and for mental health support for veterinary workers. Between 2022 and 2031, 5,000 veterinary jobs will open due to expansion and replacement needs, while only 4,300 job seekers will be available to fill them. The shortage of vets and veterinary workers has been an ongoing topic of concern. Practices that had recently hired new workers reported it could take anywhere from 3 to 12 months to hire someone. The data suggested that mixed animal practices, which likely are representative of rural and small town clinics, struggled most to fill openings. Polish farmers blocked roads with tractors and flares yesterday in escalating protests against EU environmental regulations and cheap food imports from neighboring Ukraine, which the bloc provisionally agreed to prolong. Farmers in Poland and elsewhere in the bloc have been protesting in recent months to demand the reimposition of customs duties on agricultural imports from Ukraine that were waived after Russia's invasion in 2022. They say Ukraine's farmers are flooding Europe with cheap imports that leave them unable to compete. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. That's the Ag Review portion of our program. It's time now to head back out once again to Danny Ismond.
1-888-BUY-FARM is the number to call to get in for the Assiniboia Spring Fever Lotto. That lunch hour is going by here this afternoon, and you've got a chance right now to go around and collect and get in on a group buy, okay? That might be the best thing you do today, because every single one of these draws, 85 of them, have cash options, like the grand prize. Yes, there is farm packs. There is the truck, SUV, and golf pack, or the plane, or $150,000 cash. Even second prize. Zero turn more, $5,000. Nice to have the cash option. And you want to talk about cash, the 50-50 is some serious cash. That is over $50,000 already. It's real simple. You get the phone, you pick it up, you give us a call, and we get you all taken care of. It just takes a couple of minutes. 1-888-289-3276. 1-888-289-3276. 1-888-BUY-FARM with the Assiniboia Spring Fever Lotto, and good luck.
Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. It's sunny and minus 11 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. The Vice President of the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan, or APAS, had some good things to say about the provincial budget for agriculture. Bev Pirio was at the legislature in Regina for the budget's release yesterday and thought it didn't have a lot of surprises.
We've seen a $22.4 million increase over last year in the ag budget, which is obviously a bonus. We definitely, you know, appreciate seeing that. And we also appreciate the risk management funding that's improved or increased a fair bit. So those are some of the positives, I guess, that I kind of felt I seen there.
The Ministry of Ag's budget increased by 4.1% to $570.6 million. The majority of funds, $431.7 million, is allocated to federal provincial risk management programs such as crop insurance and agri-stability.
The crop insurance thing has been an ongoing thing. I mean, obviously they did their overhaul on it and then had its bumps in the road getting rolled out and getting people on board with it. APAS, I guess, from our point of view, those bumps can be painful sometimes for some of the farmers, but the way it's rolling out now, it should make it easier for young farmers to get insured. So, you know, it's a little cheaper for them than it is if you've had been in a claim situation. So I guess that's something that we've always pushed for, is, you know, the young farmers being able to get a leg up here and there. So, and then we also really, really appreciate the new weather stations that are going to go out, which is going to really help for measuring precipitation or lack thereof. So that's something that we really appreciate seeing in the budget, and we hope that it can just continue to improve year over year. And, you know, because there's so many pockets in the province that just don't get measured properly. And then, so by increasing that budget and increasing those those weather stations, I think we can get some better data.
Ag research at facilities around the province and programs supporting the development of new tech is getting $38 million, something APAS is in favor of.
You know, that's how we can do good work on our farms. And we all believe in sustainability and all of those initiatives as well. And we think that we do a good job of that as farmers. That's why, you know, we do what we do. We love that land. So we're going to care for it in the best way possible. And it's always good to have new and improved ways of doing things. We're not going to stick our head in the sand and never want to improve. So you got to have that. And that funding will, I believe, will go to a lot of good.
And Perio says if there was anything to criticize about the budget, it was the lack of a drought preparedness plan.
So that we can have some kind of funding in place in the event this year rather than waiting until after it happens and people are having to sell off herds of cattle because they can't get grass, they have no grass. So the snow that hit a couple of weeks ago, despite the media, despite the weatherman, it did not hit everybody evenly. So there is still, at this time, there's a great amount of concern for drought for this upcoming year.
Expenses for the Ministry of Agriculture for 2024-25 will be $1.5 billion.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April closed at 188.37 today. That's up 57. June live cattle closed at 184.50, down 27. April feeder cattle closed at 254.62, down 30. May feeder cattle closed at 258.07, down 72. April lean hogs closed at 84.90, down 40. May lean hogs closed at 89.90, down 107. And that's the livestock market conditions. Now it's time for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton.
Good afternoon, cattle producers. Here's your Heartland Livestock Services market report for the week ending March 22nd. Another strong week here today in Yorkton. Warmer days and melting snow, and it almost seems like spring is trying to creep in. With 2,635 in the pre-sort and 397 cows and bulls, we ended the day at 3,032 head. Here are some highlights. On the steer trade, 428-pound black steers at 521.5, 499-pound buckskin steers at 485.5, 577-pound red exotic steers at 438. We had 122 black steers weighing 634. They brought 415.5. 716-pound buckskin steers at 383.5, 790-pound exotic steers at 354.75, 858-pound black steers at 333, 949-pound buckskin steers at 313.5, and 1,035-pound exotic steers at 297.75. On the heifers trade, 431-pound black heifers at 453, 571-pound buckskin heifers at 380, 639-pound exotic heifers at 359.5, 710-pound black heifers at 330.5. 790-pound buckskin heifers at 332.75, 859-pound exotic heifers at 307, 932-pound buckskin heifers at 298. On the slaughter side, D1, D2 cows, 155 to 165, sales to 175, 180, D3 cows, 135 to 150, thin, shelly, older cows, 90 cents to $1.30, heiferettes, $1.50 to $2.20. Our cows average 153.94. Bulls were higher with better quality this week. Good hard bulls, 170 to 185, sales to 195. From the Roblin area, two big bulls weighing 2,437 pounds apiece brought $2.01. At our sheep sale, last Friday, we saw 950 sheep and goats trade in a higher market with 99-pound lambs bringing $3.34 and collie ewes up to $1.70. Pre-sort sale next week with some room. Call the office to book. Our pre-sort April 3rd will be a one-day sort due to the holiday Monday. This has been Carter Seal with your Heartland Livestock Service Market Report. Have a great day, and thank you for being a part of our industry.
Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. The president of the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities was pleased to see some of the organization's lobbying efforts bear fruit. Before the provincial budget was released yesterday, Ray Orb was hoping for more funding for the Rural Integrated Roads for Growth program, and it saw an increase of $2.35 million to $17.35 million for the new fiscal year.
So that will give us another $1 million for capital projects and about $1.4 million for our heavy truck corridor. So those are the corridors that are called clearing the path. You see signs when you drive around rural Saskatchewan. Those are the roads that take a lot of heavy traffic. So about $2.4 million, we were asking for about $25 million, but of course, that's still a 16% increase. It'll be welcome. And we'll continue lobby, you know, for more funding as time goes on, hoping even next year we can get more of an increase.
Another big item that SARM is interested in was an increase to the municipal revenue sharing. $340.2 million is budgeted between urban and rural communities. Of that amount, $96.9 million is allocated to RMs, which Orb says is a formula used to determine how the money will be distributed.
The criteria that the province looks at, there's assessment, miles of road, some population is a population factor as well. So that formula is agreed to, and it's kind of renegotiated every 5 years. Suma and SARM and the New North have a consultation with the provincial government, you know, to lobby for their share. And if there's an increase in anyone's share, it has to be agreed by the other parties. So it's kind of an ongoing discussion. But generally, that formula is fairly transparent and easy to follow. So the RMs will get about $95 million now. Some RMs may get a little less and some a little more. That's just an average number because, as you know, population does fluctuate from census year to census year.
Orb was also glad to see an increase to the Ministry of Agriculture's funding.
That affects every RM in this province that has agriculture in it. Of course, driving our economy, they're overall about a 4.1% increase. So that's a 22.4 million increase over last year. And, some of the enhancements to crop insurance are really pleased about. The province is seeing fit to put in another 38 weather stations. So those are for the rainfall insurance programs. Another $89 million for the Saskatchewan Canadian Agriculture Program. And those are programs that RMs rely on, and so do farmers as well. One thing I did note, there is a freeze again on the Crown lease rates for grazing, which I think is good that the province did that because we're looking at some dry conditions again this year, and I think that will help livestock producers that graze their cattle in provincial pastures.
Orb also reiterated his praise for the Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion Project.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. May canola closed at $642.90, down $5.70. July canola closed at $652.40, down $4.80. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $656.50, that's up 1.5 cents. May Kansas City wheat closed at $581.75. Up 1.25 cents. May Chicago wheat closed at $546.75, up 1.75 cents. May corn closed at $440.75, up 1.75 cents. May soybeans closed at $12.12 per bushel, up 2.5 cents. May oats closed at $353.50, up 0.25 cents. And that's the commodities update. While efforts will continue to promote canola oil in the human diet, the biggest potential for market expansion is biofuels. California is the largest renewable fuels market in North America, with a 60% renewable fuel blending rate. If other areas of the United States adopt similar measures, that will provide a big boost for biofuels. Jeff Pleskatch is Cargill's canola merchandising manager based in Winnipeg. He spoke yesterday during a Canola Council of Canada webinar on global demand for canola oil and meal. He says it's important to have a predictable and consistency of demand signals from both the United States and Canadian governments.
A lot of the stuff happening that you may be starting to hear about around the clean fuels regulations in Canada and some of that stuff happening in the EU, that will be coming to California. So traceability, sustainability, this is just the baseline. It's only up from here. That's the demand from your customers. The talk to the clean fuel regulations enacted now, you know, you see some of the industry participants speaking to this now. This is essentially the Canadian federal view on a low carbon fuel standard. So for those familiar with the RFS, the Renewable Fuel Standard in the US, it's volumetric. It says thou shalt blend X percent or X ton, and I'm very much oversimplifying it. Low carbon fuel standards like the CFR or like in California say something more along the lines of thou shalt reduce your carbon emissions by X over the next few years. So it creates some legitimacy around potential benefits to the environment. It creates supply. It also comes on the back of government policy and governments change and policies can change. So the predictability around that is super important to how we invest in these spaces as an industry, how we create those pricing signals to everything from how do we breed canola and other crops for the future, and what do we do with certain agronomic practices. This all can start at one end of the chain and go all the way through, so it's important.
Pleskatch goes on to say,
creating clarity around renewable fuels, around the nuances of them, things like blenders tax credits and the trickle down that helps prioritize one feedstock, like hopefully canola over another, are important. CUSMA, the NAFTA 2.0 is going to be reviewed in 2026. And you can already see some politicking in the US around just slap a 10% tariff on everything. When they say everything, they might mean everything. It's also a political promise, so I won't hold my breath. But these are the things that need to be on the radar. The carbon intensity score of our products, which might be a new term for some, you're going to hear more and more about that. Our customers are asking for these things, whether it's food, whether it's fuel. Governments are listening. And so I think the council's done a pretty good job along with COPA in having our foot in the door, being involved in conversations to make sure that canola is at the forefront. The work's not done yet. More to come.
On the other side of the coin, when you increase canola crush, you also need a buyer for the canola meal. The California dairy market is a large consumer, and Pleskatch says there is room for more growth in China.
The growth in the space, as we do grow, the crush capacity in Canada is going to come from China. That's where we can see demand, whether it's in growth in aquaculture, this huge opportunities in the dairy space underutilizing canola meal right now. Not nowhere near to the same degree as our friends in the US do with sort of proven science around milk production and fat levels in milk.
Then there's the growing competition from soybean meal, especially in the United States.
Everybody and their dog is building a soybean crush plant in the United States, so there's a competing factor there. We'll see certainly some pressure in the places where that soybean meal does compete in certain rations, more so in hogs, more so in poultry, less so in dairy. But when you do tend to get a large supply of a feed stuff like that, and it's going to try and find its place to the highest paying market. So we have to continue to expand and diversify.
Jeff Pleskatch is Cargill's canola merchandising manager based in Winnipeg. He spoke Tuesday during a Canola Council of Canada webinar on global demand for canola oil and meal. It's time now to check in once again with Danny Ismond.
Well, we are in Assiniboia with the Spring Fever Lotto today, and your chance to win, and actually chances, 85 opportunities coming up. We have 30 of those in the very early buyer prizes here this weekend, but take a look at the grand prize. You know there's a $150,000 grand prize, right? Did you know there's a plane that's up for grabs, or the truck, SUV, and golf cart package, or maybe you want one of the farm packs, the New Holland Farm Pack. That's a New Holland PowerStar 120 tractor and the 2023 Farm King rake wheel. That's an option. The other one's a Case IH Farm Pack with the 2024 Case IH Farm All 120 tractor. The other one is a John Deere Ranch package with a 2024 John Deere 5130M utility tractor, and it comes with a 540M loader as well. Nice to have options, isn't it? But before you can ever make one of those choices, you need to make the choice to get a ticket first. And we can help you at 1-888-289-3276. That's 1-888-289-3276. Or easiest way to remember, 1-888-BUY-FARM. The Assiniboia Spring Fever Lotto.
Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. Each month, the Market Analysis Group of Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada publish an outlook report for principal field crops. As Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com reports, the March report released this week shows improved price prospects on some crops, while others have declined.
Looking at new crop price projections, the Ag Canada report has dropped its expected price for durum by $25 a ton as compared to its February report. Spring wheat is down by $20, with both barley and oats down by $5 a ton. Both barley and oats are the lowest in 4 years. Canola prices have been rallying in recent weeks, but the Ag Canada report has dropped its new crop price projection on canola by $20 a ton. Flax has gone the opposite direction and is up by $50 a ton. All the types of field peas are grouped together, and that new crop price projection is up by $25 a ton. Lentils have improved even more, with an increase of $50 a ton over last month's projection. Both chickpeas and canary seed are unchanged, but mustard has seen a huge drop, down $345 a ton as compared to the February new crop price projection. For Sask Ag Today, I'm Kevin Hirsch.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The deadline for the Canadian cow-calf survey is fast approaching. You're asked to consider sharing 30 to 60 minutes of your time to impact research priorities and extension strategies for the Canadian beef industry. It can be found at beefresearch.ca/survey, and the deadline to fill it out is on March 31st. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, partly to mainly sunny, winds north-northwest at 10 to 20, and a high of minus 8 degrees. For tonight, mainly cloudy, winds north-northwest at 10 to 20, a low of minus 20. For tomorrow, early cloud turning to sunshine, winds north-northwest at 10 to 20, a high of minus 9, an overnight low of minus 22. For Saturday, mainly sunny, a light north-northwest wind, a high of minus 8. For Sunday, partly sunny, a high of minus 7, and Monday, partly sunny, a high of minus 11. In the Paw and Roblin, it's minus 12 degrees, Swan River minus 8, Dauphin and Shoal Lake Russell minus 11, Brandon minus 9. Regina is at minus 6, Saskatoon, Hudson Bay, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington minus 9, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, minus 8. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, an east-northeast wind at 4 kilometers an hour. 71% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 11 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 13 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for Sask Ag Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.